T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Chris Mannix of Yahoo Sports, who is on Twitter at Chris Mannix YS. He is on the Bernstein and McKnight show. So here we go, Chris. Well, we've had months and months and months, and this is really as attractive and fascinating a slate of playoff games as I think we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I think especially in the Eastern Conference, any of the top eight teams can really win, frankly. The way the Pacers have played the Cavs this season, you have to give them half a shot. You know, Boston's banged up. I think there's more parity, particularly in the East, and maybe even more parity at the top of the West than there's been in a long time.
In the West, then, and we talked with Jim Suhan, who's a columnist out in Minnesota, talking about the Timberwolves and how that last game playoff was coming down. He kind of believed that this was a referendum. That game was a referendum on Tom Thibodeau and his choices to rebuild that organization. Do you feel the same way? Was that as big in reaching the playoffs, as big as an endorsement as you could possibly get for Thibodeau at all?
I don't know. I mean, you know, look, if Jimmy Butler doesn't get hurt a month ago, the Wolves are in a different situation. I mean, they're, probably in the fight for the 4-5 seed instead of battling it out for the 8 on the last game of the season. You know, Tibbs has got his issues. I grant you that. I mean, he still burns guys out in regular season games way more than he should. And, you know, I don't know if he's necessarily the right fit to be a coach and a team president. But I don't think that the end result of this season would have changed a whole heck of a lot. You could always chalk it up to the injury to Butler, and you could say because they lost their picks, they made the playoffs, they had a lottery pick to use kind of moving forward. There would have been a lot of reasons for Tibbs to continue down this path. I think he would have.
Why is it that Eric Spoelstra doesn't seem to receive the credit he deserves among his peers for continuing to create a winner there, no matter what hand he seems to be dealt? It seems like there's always somebody different involved that becomes a reliable player. Am I overrating him, or do I just think he's really a remarkable NBA coach?
No, I think he gets his credit amongst his peers, too. It's that sometimes, you know, people in the media and people that aren't following Miami as closely as they do don't really appreciate. I mean, I'll tell you how much I respect Eric Spoelstra. I think Miami beats Philly in the first round. I think they take him to 7 games and win that one. And a lot of that to do with coaching, physicality, and experience. And, you know, I've often said that you give a great coach, one team and one team only to focus on the playoffs, they're going to cause some problems with that team. And if that team is as inherently flawed as Philadelphia is, both with, you know, youth, which is not, they have no control over, but also the fact that Ben Simmons, Markel Fultz, these are guys with a shooting range, don't extend beyond the paint, you're going to have a lot of success against those teams. So I think Miami, with its, you know, kind of plethora of wing defenders, Hassan Whiteside still in the mix, I think they're going to have a good series and win that one against Philly.
I wonder if the same principle applies to the Spurs and Warriors first-round matchup. I know that that's Warriors team is obviously the odds-on favorite to win the thing, and I know the Spurs probably won't have Kawhi Leonard, though I'm holding out hope because I'm a terrible, terrible person. But I wonder if you think that that one's a little bit more interesting down the line than perhaps it might look on paper.
Well, I mean, not without Kawhi. Okay. I mean, Kawhi is what made that kind of team run and what put them in the position in last year's conference finals. It certainly is kind of a prove-me series for LaMarcus Aldridge, who has not always been the strongest playoff performer. I mean, he is going to have to carry a massive offensive burden for this team to stay in games against Golden State, because even without Steph, they're still a dynamic offensive team. They'll still put up 100-plus points, I think, pretty easily. So I think Aldridge is a spotlight on him in this postseason. But, you know, without Kawhi, you know, Kawhi kind of makes all those sort of D-League guys and aging veterans work. If they all kind of operate around his, or in his orbit, I should say, And without him in that mix, I just have a hard time seeing them hold up.
We always talk about how teams, especially veteran teams, understand the playoffs are different. And very often there's something in reserve that is not something you saw in the final 2 weeks of the regular season, the final month of the regular season. Yet things are different now. We've seen LeBron James have to redline it this year at his age, because of the roster churn and the sort of high variance nature of that team. We're seeing the Sixers playing their best basketball headed in. Which of these teams currently in the playoffs do you think is the opportunity to take the biggest jump, to say, oh, they haven't been showing this, or they haven't really been doing this in the regular season? This has all been about getting them ready for the playoffs, and it's going to be something new, better, and different.
Well, I mean, the easy answer for that is Cleveland, because you know, they finished the season, 29th in defensive efficiency, and we're all expected or told to believe that, you know, they'll turn it up a notch in the playoffs. I don't believe that on spec. And I also think that the Cavs have made a conscious decision with their lineup choice, you know, for starters, with Jeff Green and Kevin Love at the five, to say, we're going to outscore you, and we're not going to, you know, worry about defending at a particularly high level, because Jeff Green isn't a plus defender. Kevin Love isn't a plus defender. They could go with Tristan Thompson. They could go with Larry Nance Jr., both guys I think would be better defensive options, but they're going all in on offense. And, you know, we'll see. I don't think it's going to work. I think they get beat in the second round by Toronto, and I think they're in for a dogfight in this first round against Indiana. But that's the team that if there's a proverbial switch to be flipped, we'll see if Cleveland can do it.
Talking with Chris Mannix of Yahoo Sports here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. Cubs baseball coming up in just a few. I wonder, Dan and I have spent a little bit of time talking about the 7 seconds or less offense in that Houston Rockets team that now has Mike at the helm. And I wonder if the season that you've seen from those Rockets, Chris Paul working too, has changed your perspective at all on Mike D'Antoni and his, I guess, legacy is probably too strong a word, but his impact on what the game is that we're seeing today.
Now, and Mike D'Antoni is a championship level coach. You know, we go back and remember what happened in 07. I mean, if Robert Horry doesn't hip check Steve Nash, Mike D'Antoni's probably got a championship ring, because that Spurs team went on to beat Cleveland in 4 games. Phoenix would have done the exact same thing to him. And what would the narrative be about D'Antoni if that had happened? Mike was also well on his way to building the Knicks into something before Carmelo came along, and that relationship, you know, soured quickly. I think Mike is, you know, his team's being incapable of winning has always been completely bogus to me, at least at the highest of levels. I mean, this year the difference is they're defending at the highest level any D'Antoni coach team has done, and that's going to be what they kind of hang their hat on in close games, and that's why Luke Babamute's health is critical. But I mean, they just pick and roll you to death offensively. They have two assassins in Harden and Paul to go to in the fourth quarter. They're as built as any team in the NBA, including Golden State, to win a championship this year.
Last thing I got for you, Chris, we have a third coaching opening now with Steve Clifford being let go. That adds to the Knicks opening Jeff Hornacek. Frank Vogel let go after Orlando fired him. I would have David Fizdale at the top of my list, personally. I have a lot of respect for him as a coach, and I think he got absolutely screwed over in Memphis, and the guy just is solid. I saw David Blatt's name come up again. I saw Mark Jackson's name come up again. Jay Wright, of course, has been linked to the Knicks job. Is there anybody else that you are hearing in this next wave for one of these openings?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see what the direction that some of these teams go. How many will be willing to dip into the assistant coaching ranks and take a chance on one of these top guys? Because I think there are some extremely qualified assistant coaches right now in those ranks. I mean, out in Portland, you've got two in David Vanderpool and Nate Tibbetts, who I think are ready to go. Nick Nurse in Toronto, who was the architect of the overhaul of that Raptors offense, who has been coaching at a high level for years. Steve Silas, who was just let go as part of Steve Clifford's staff in Chicago. Look, it takes a general manager with gravitas to take a chance on an assistant coach, because the easy thing to do is to go with the coach with a proven track record. That's not a knock on David Fizdale. It just is an easy thing to do to go with a coach that has history. Guys without history, that's a risk, and that puts you on your kind of neck on the line there. But these guys that we're talking about, one or two of them are going to turn out to be high-level, big-time NBA coaches, and I'd like to see several of these teams take chances on some of those assistants.
Chris, appreciate it, man. We're looking forward to these playoffs, and here we go with the real part of the NBA season now. Now it's real.
You got it, guys.
Thanks. Chris Mannix of Yahoo on Twitter, at Chris Mannix, YS.
I'm looking forward to those. That'll be a fun matchup, and I want that Spurs thing. I know it's a pipe dream. I know that I'm rooting for something that just won't materialize, but I want to see some action there.
Getting out for Cubs baseball, our thank yous go to Kyle Long. He was great, as always.
Oh, fun interview.
Jonah Carey and Chris Mannix. Joe Ostrowski had our updates. Brian Gerch had the video feed. The producers, Jay Zawoski, Rick Camp, and Ray Diaz. So, that's it already?
That's it. That's a week.
Another week.
One more in the books for the Bernstein and McKnight show.
How about it?
Yeah, I feel good about it. Baseball to watch.
And then we'll have a nice cold weekend, and then we can't
with
play
all the
golf.
Snow and the rain and the crap.
All right, back at it again on Monday. Keep it here. You've got the Cubs and the Braves coming your way. It's Anibal Sanchez against Yu Darvish on your home for Cubs baseball. Sports Radio 670. The Score. Have a great weekend.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.